Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, I want to get right into the Word. Thank you for your prayers while my wife and I were gone. I feel refreshed, this type of thing. It's really bad because when you come home after that, you are ready to go. Ready to go. I want to go into Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. We're going to talk about living in the presence of God, and it's going to be, I believe God has got some great things to share with you today. You have the responding verses on the screen behind me. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come up upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah.
And they said to him, please tell us for whose cause this trouble upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you?
Verse 9 together. So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that, Lord, that through your word, we'll find something about the presence of God. And actually, there's some of us here in this room that have tried to get away from the presence of God, but somehow we've been ambushed by your power today. And Lord, I pray that through the speaking of your word today, we will find out what it's like, Lord God, to be estranged from you because of choices that we've made. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would teach us today that we would become better people, better Christians, better believers because of what you're going to share with us. Holy Spirit, come now and transform lives and transform hearts and change destinies to the way you always designed it to be. And we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, you may be seated. I don't know how you process it, but I'll tell you what. The presence of God, this scripture kind of stuck out at me. I was doing my devotions when I was on vacation, and I wanted to do this particular segment, then I'll start a series probably in a few weeks. But it was amazing to me that it makes it so clear in scripture that Jonah's expressed desire was to flee from the presence of God. I have some questions I'll ask you in just a moment, but the whole idea of it, can you imagine the idea that he said, you know, I don't want to be in God's presence. I don't want to experience God's love and his grace and his mercy, his healing and his restoration. I just want to be out there on my own. And I want to tell you, there's something wrong with that. The Holy Spirit can leave such an impact on the spirit of man that they are misguided, if you will, entertain the reasons to forego that experience. And there's many people that did not come to church today because I'll tell you what. They didn't value the presence of God. They thought they were okay. But they'll discover by the time this, maybe halfway through the day, that had they been here, their life could have been a whole lot different. I don't want you to take for granted from this point on what it's like to even be able to assemble in a church like this, because in our world today, and actually I can mention this really quickly about what's happening with Hurricane Harvey. It could be in the situation where you didn't have a church to go to because you couldn't get there. I saw some pictures that were sent to me of some of the churches that I visited with in when I was down in Dallas, that their church, the water is about this high up into the church, and they can't go to church today, and they want to be in the presence of God. They'll have to assemble some other place because they can't get to the place where they really want to be. Here's my questions for you today, and we'll move into this. Number one, can you recall the last time that you had an encounter with the presence of God that you desired it so much you desired not to leave? I can. I can remember as a child the very first time I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God as 9 years old. And we were at a revival meeting, and the Holy Spirit came in, and the Holy Spirit came into my life. And some of you may not understand this, but at 9 years old, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what is that all about? The Holy Spirit came into me, and I was able to, at 9 years old, to express a language I'd never learned before. You say, what? To even add on to that, I didn't have sense enough not to go to school and tell everybody about it. Yes, I did. In Miss Graham's class. Anything special happened to anybody? And my head went on this. I went to church and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And this woman, she turned beet red. And she didn't know what to do with me. But I'll tell you what, I was in the presence of God. I didn't care what you thought, because I know what I experienced. And I want to put something in you today. Never be ashamed of what God is doing in your life. When's the last time you really sought out the presence of God? Let me go to number two. Have you ever allowed the circumstances that you are facing in life to prevent you from pursuing the presence of God? And this is not an indictment, it's a reality. That some of you are so focused on the problems that you have, you cannot allow God's presence to really have his way in your life. Because you're thinking about maybe mistakes that you've made, or financial situations, or a broken relationship, whatever it happens to be. But I want to let you know that you're in a free zone today where you can experience all that Jesus is by just yielding to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Last thing is this. Have you discovered that the presence of God is no guarantee of the absence of trouble? If you think because you're in the presence of God that trouble won't be coming along, trouble is right around the corner. But I'll tell you what, when the presence of God is in your life, he can take you through no matter what you're going to go through. The presence of God is not an experience from the outside, it's an expression from the inside of what God is doing. Well, David put it this way in Psalm 23, verse 5. We're going to read that scripture and then I'll introduce that. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me at my head with oil. My cup runs over. There's something about being in the presence of God that your enemies cannot thwart God's presence in your life. I don't care what, I shouldn't say I don't care. It may be difficult what you're going through, but God can override the presence of the enemy in your life. Being in the presence of God does not guarantee the absence of trouble. Absolutely not. But you know, but he's on the inside, so no matter what you're going through, Jesus is going through it with you. David discovered this. I don't know whether you know a little bit about his story, but at one particular time before he became king, Saul was pursuing him, madly pursuing him. And he was doing all kinds of different things. There'd be time he'd be playing the harp for Saul, and Saul would take a spear and throw it at him. And then he'd go back for an encore. I'm thinking, you throw a spear at me one time, I ain't never going to play for you again. But I want to let you know, when you are in the presence of God, I don't care what spears are thrown at you, God's got you in the presence of your enemies. Well, let's just extract a little more from that. Jesus is not your refuge from trouble, but your refuge in trouble. Some of you are sitting in this room right now, you're in trouble. Financially, spiritually, here we go, morally. But I want to let you know, it doesn't matter. The presence of God can override that situation. As you yield to his presence, he can transform your situation in a moment. The power of the Holy Spirit is here to transform you from who you are to who you desire to be. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Well, his promise to never leave you is a forever promise. And the other thing you need to do, regardless of the problem that we're facing, his teaching, he's teaching you something that will make you stronger. Now, I was looking at some of the pictures from Hurricane Harvey. One thing it did It stopped people from rioting in the streets over pulling down statues. Work with me, folks. Some of them same folks that were pulling down statues, they're forming a chain, and I don't care whether she's black, white, or indifferent, in between, but they're bringing them out of the water. You see what I mean? All it takes is a trouble bigger than what we're going through, and all of a sudden we found out, you know what that is? We got to help her. We are crazy people. Without a focus, we will do crazy things. But all of a sudden, when tragedy comes in, all of a sudden we can change our mind. That person wasn't such a bad person after all when we get our mind in the right place. I'll tell you what happens. The presence of God can override anything you're going through at this particular moment. Well, let's get to our story of Jonah. Jonah is an interesting character, and we're going to go through this whole book in the next probably 20, 25 minutes. Because it's a story that some of you may have learned it in Bible school or in church Sunday school. But Jonah is a man who is, he knows what he's doing. And he purposely gets this thought in his mind that God says, I want you to go down to Nineveh and I want you to preach. I want you to preach to some people down there. And Jonah said, I ain't going. Don't look at me so funny. That's the same thing you do. Don't be looking at Jonah so funny. You know exactly what God told you to do, and you do the exact opposite of what he told you to do. He says, go down to Nineveh, and that's where I want you to go. Gets him a ticket, goes to Tarshish. You know, he says, I'm not going down there. I'm not going. Now, let me give you a little backstory to this. Because he had an issue in his life, because he hated the people in Nineveh. See, there's some people you don't pray very hard for. Come on, work with me. Matter of fact, there's some people that are not on your prayer list and never will be on your prayer list. And if God never saves them, a tear will not drop from your eye. I'm here to help you today. So our perception of insight on things in life will cause us to flee the presence of God. So he says, the way I can get away from this is I know the presence of God. I know how God works. God is a loving, he's a merciful, he's an awesome God. And no matter what he tells me to do, if I go down there and deliver this message to them, the worst thing in life could happen. They're going to repent. And I'm going to be really mad. So I know how to stop it. I ain't going. Well, our desire to escape the presence of the Lord can lead us into greater captivity. Ever try to get away from this and end up with that? Ever try to ditch her and end up with her? Ditch him and you got one even worse than what you got rid of? You know what I'm talking about. You thought you were getting away from one thing and something worse, even worse than what you had, came along. God got something ready for you. A big fish. At the time you said no, you flee in his presence, God has set you up. But it's always going to work out for good. Listen to how this thing works. Well, God will use every situation in life to draw us into a closer relationship with him. Even when you're out there in left field, God hasn't forgotten about you. David said, "Even if I made my bed in hell, you are there. You will not escape the presence of God as long as there's breath in your body." Well, let me just get us to a place to understand some issues of what may happen. Again, back to the idea what we call trouble, God can use for training. If you haven't learned anything by now of the things you've gone through and you're going back to the same thing, I tell you what, there isn't much we can do for you. If you're still doing the same things you did before you met Jesus and you're still doing those things, I don't know what I can do for you. But because David's testimony was, he says, before I was wounded, I went astray. But now I've learned to keep your law. Then he said this. He said, it was good for me to be wounded. Now, you know what he was talking about? His Bathsheba experience. You don't like to talk about that, do you? If David had been, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and this is how it reads. And then it happened, when kings were supposed to go out to war, that David decided to stay home. I want to tell you, the worst things that have ever happened in your life is when you were not in the presence of God where you belong with the rest of the soldiers, you decide to stay home, and that's the reason why you are so messed up right now. You made a decision to go directly against what God, what you're supposed to be doing. And I tell you, it isn't working very well, is it?
No, it ain't.
But you say, what's so pleasant about war? Because God has designed you as a warrior. Some of you have gotten bored with, like, you know, I can get, all right, here's David's rationale. Been to one war, seen them all. You guys go out there and take care of these. You know, I'm gonna chill. I'm tired of doing war. I'm going to sit out here on my balcony, and guess what happened that night? Yeah. This lady decides she's going to take a little bath. That's why they call it Bathsheba. Read your Bible. It's in there. You can't make the connection? Bathsheba. That should have been a tip-off right there, but the boy ain't got no sense. If he'd been where he's supposed to be, he never would have had that experience. I want to tell you right now, some of the things that are happening in your life is because you were not where you were supposed to be.
Amen.
And thus for your neighbor, he'll get it in a minute. Fleeing the presence rather than living in the presence can only produce consequences. And this story, the way it unravels to me, is pretty amazing. It will send us in a direction where we are not prepared to function according to our calling. Now, it isn't shortly after he gets on board the ship that everything falls apart. Can I tell you something? Some people cannot get saved because of you. I'm going to say it again. Some people don't believe me. There are people who would love to get saved, but they cannot get saved because of you, because of your rebellion. You're on the wrong boat. And you're causing all kind of hell to break loose because you don't belong there in the first place. But he said, I got my ticket. I'm going to sit. And here's the other thing about it. He's down there fast asleep. Everybody else is just, oh, we're going to die. He's there sleeping. You're in a coma. A coma of confusion. A coma that is fixed on yourself, that you're only concerned about you. You're not concerned about anybody else. I had an experience yesterday. I did a memorial service. Actually, it was actually on Friday. And it was a great service for a gentleman that had passed away. And I was asked to eulogize the service. And the Lord says, you need to preach the gospel today. So I said, yeah. And then preaching the gospel, I talk about Jesus in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'll go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And the Lord, I've said this before in this group of folks, so I'm going to say it again. I said, I got good news for you. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's eyes lit up. Woo, hallelujah, good, happy days are here again. But I said, everybody ain't staying. Oh, you're going to see him, but you may not be staying. Every eye will behold him. And for some, you'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And other folks, you had a chance. You didn't take it. Flee my presence. And so I preached it. After the service was over, this little lady, I would say she was in her late 20s. She walked to me. She says, I need to tell you something. She says, I'm not a believer, but today I have to reconsider some things. No, she did. Now, she's very serious. She says, some of the things you said about Jesus, some of the things you said about eternal life and the fact of going to heaven, that everybody's going to see Jesus, but everybody can't stay. She says, I need to reevaluate some of the thoughts that I've had. Folks, all you got to do is tell it. But I got one better than that. How about living it? So here we go. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 12. Let's pick up that scripture. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Isn't that a noble thing? I'm going to tell you, no, it isn't. You coward. You pitiful person. If you were really sorry, you would have jumped in the sea. But you want to put on, say, oh, you guys throw me in the sea. And I can always blame you for throwing me in the sea because, you know, I don't have... Are you crazy? Jonas, even in that moment, was non-repentant. See, some of us don't know how to repent. You hear what I said? We don't know how to repent. It's always somebody else's fault. Now, if you do this, then everything will be okay. No, it's when you call on the name of the Lord from your own heart and say, Lord, it's me. It's nobody else. It's nobody else's problem. I caused this particular problem, and I need to jump right now. Oh, that's a whole different story. And just like the backstory to this, of course, they don't want to do this. They want to be, you know, kind, compassionate folks. But again, my story goes back to this. There are some people that cannot get saved because of you. You're on the wrong ship, headed the wrong direction. You don't belong there. So, story kind of unfolds a little bit further. And God is the only safe place to pour out your heart in safety to the Lord. After this happens, he begins to do that. But you know what I found out? You folks pour more out on Facebook than you do to Jesus. Let me help you with that. I'll say it again. I'm going to say it several more times. Facebook knows more about you than Jesus does, if that were the case. Because you put all your business out there like you're just writing a story to somebody. Now, if I was a Facebook follower, I could find out all kinds of things about you, but God doesn't want to crush my spirit with some of the nonsense you folks are doing. And you'll put it out there just like, oh, and I did this. And I don't need a picture of everything you ate either. Help me, Jesus. Cholesterol off the charts. And gee, you come here and want me to lay hands on you to get you prayed for, and you put all that cholesterol. Leave me alone. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, the way you escape can lead to greater captivity. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. Repeat after me, thank God for the fish. I'll tell you why, because that's what's holding you together till you get your act together. You may be on a rough ride right now, but God is trying to get you prepared to do his will. It may be kind of rough, it may be kind of rocky, but by the time you say yes to God, things will change in your life. God prepared, he could have let you drown in the sea. Do you understand what I'm saying? But out of his grace and out of his mercy, he prepared a fish for you to get your mind back. Jesus will give you a place to process your emotions. And some of us times we get so emotionally distraught, you know, because the whole story, like I told you, Jonas doesn't want to do this because he hates the Ninevites. He hates these folks. The other part about it you need to know is that your mind will have to get in step with the Spirit of God. Now, real quickly, since this service started about an hour and 20 minutes ago, I can tell you, like anyone else in here, your mind has been in and out of the presence of God. Well, that's not true. Ever since I came here, no, you're not. Stop lying. Some of you have processed what you're going to have for lunch. Yes, you have. Some of you have been on your phone. Yes, you have. I'm feeling the resistance. You need to open your mouth to defy the deception of your mind. And the Bible says this, and I believe this is the thing that caused everything to change in Jonah's life. And the Bible says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Your mind is processing all types of things, but you know what you need to do right now? Is you need to cry out to the Lord. Forget what your mind's saying. Talk about what your spirit is saying. I need to get out of this mess. You got all kinds of ideas. I could do this, I could do that. But when you cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, I'm in a fish. I don't want to stay here. I'm in a fish, and I know you've got a process, something ahead of me, and I know the only way I'm going to get out of this fish is if when I surrender to your will. You need to cry out to God saying, God, I am wrong and so wrong. And even the fact when I had folks throw me overboard, I never should have done that. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and God can save you. Well, he prayed from the fish, and Jonah called on the very one that he was trying to escape from. Wow. That means that God is going to do some great things in your life if you'll do that. Jonah knew in his heart that he could not flee the presence of the Lord. And my question to you is, why do you keep doing it? You say, wherever you go, he says, if I make my bed in heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Wherever I go, you're there. Then what's the deal? Why are you so schizophrenic in the way you deal with your life? Jesus has never gone anywhere. It's almost like he says, no, he doesn't know what I'm doing. I'll do this. I'll do this real quietly. That's the reason why the Bible says men love darkness rather than light. You do things at nighttime because you think God doesn't see you. Have you ever been to a club that the lights were on full blast? Yes, Lord. With the way of our escape leads us to things that some of you are struggling with right now. I'm naming these things not to indict anyone, but to let you know why you're still stuck on drugs. I'm not talking about prescription ones, but from your doctor. I'm talking about ones that you get from a friend. I'm talking about sexual addictions that you tried everything to. You disconnected the internet and you just get it on your phone. You get it on your phone. When we open our heart to God and tell him the truth, he will respond. I only have a few minutes to wrap things up, but there's a couple things that I cannot let go by. What we call trouble, God uses for training. And God is training you up in the ways of righteousness. And everything you've gone through up to this particular point, God is going to use it as a tool to bring you closer to him and further away from the things the enemy is trying to use to destroy you. Now, some of you sitting in this room today, you've gone through a lot of experiences in life, and the devil holds those things as an indictment against your character that you'll never change. You've accepted that as the way that you are. And matter of fact, you've deposited in your DNA that that's just kind of the way I respond. That's not true. The Bible says, behold, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. God changes the very nature of who you are by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the things you used to crave, you don't crave those things anymore. Amen. Oh, no, you don't. He said, oh, I just can't imagine my life without drugs. Let Jesus take over, and he'll take away the desire for drugs. But there's also decisions you have to make in accordance with his will, because he'll give you the power if you will just give him the place. These last few things are really good, and I hope you can do this. Things that we could not endure, we will find comfort in the presence of God. But what about this? When we survive something that should have killed us, we recognize it is only because of God's presence with us. Now, Anybody in here ever survived something that should have killed you? Raise your hand. Oh. Do you know why you're here? Jesus. And that's for everybody. Some of you who haven't really turned your life over to Jesus yet, it's because of his presence, because of his mercy, you were not consumed. That's pretty amazing as far as that's concerned. Our heart will find that no sacrifice that we can offer would seem to be good enough. And I think that he figured that particular thing out. It was pretty profound. Well, he gives us another opportunity to do what we should have done in the first place. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now, this is the part that we can wind this up. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, and according to the word of the Lord, now Nineveh was exceedingly great city and a 3-day journey in extent. I'd like to put at the end of that particular phrase, "and they lived happily ever after." That's not how it ended up. It didn't. I want to talk to you about the second chances that God gives us that we just absolutely blow. Does that mean that God won't give us another opportunity? That's not my point. But it's the idea that we can get so set in our ways that even when God gives us a dispensation of his grace, we still will, it's like we have a reset button that goes back to the way we've always done things before. That's a terrible thing. Well, consider this. God could have moved on to someone else, but he didn't. The fish that God prepared for him was to consider his action and remember his faithfulness, but the assignment that God had given him did not seem to be an issue after he realized the grace of God for 3 days in the belly of a fish. Here's my question for you. Are you willing to accept God's assignment over your life? Are you willing to do it his way and not yours? Because that's really what this whole story is all about. And I'm assuming that there's a couple things that could happen. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it tells the, kind of profoundly. Here we go. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord, 'Ah, was I not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, who relents from doing harm.'" Verse 3, please. "Therefore now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Isn't that about the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life? We have got mental issues. Jonah wants to die because all the people got saved. Does that make sense? Everybody got saved. I think even some of the horses and sheep got saved. They have a massive thing that everybody gets saved. He said, I knew you were going to do something. I knew you were going to save them. And you're going to turn around, I preached the word of God, and they got saved, and I just don't like it. Oh, take me home, kill me. You are stupid, stupid, stupid. Your question might be, why is this in the Bible? Because Jonah's flight from the presence of the Lord was a protest against the goodness, mercy, and love of God. If you're not into goodness, if you're not into love, if you're not into mercy, the presence of God is the last place you want to be. Because he's going to save someone on your road that you never liked. Some of you are just laughing, but you know it's the truth. In order for us to feel right in the presence, we must love what he loves and hate what he hates. Here's a question. Do you love everything that God loves? Do you hate everything that God hates? Don't answer too quickly. Because some of the things that God hates are in your medicine cabinet. They're in your glove compartment. They're in your pocket. They're over your friend's house. He's holding on to it for you. Whew. Psalms 91, verse 1. I'm going to leave it alone. Choir, make your way up here because that'll slow me down. Abiding in the presence of the Lord, verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means it's a place where there are no distractions. A place where we can entrust ourselves to as well. A place of safety from the terrors that are in our life. Psalms 91 verse 5, if you'd put that one up there, and that's the last one I'll ask you to put up there. 91 verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. What does that mean? It means that God's presence does not, remember, God does not guarantee you the absence of trouble, but Jesus is not your refuge from trouble. He's your refuge in the midst of your trouble. So a place where you can entrust ourselves to his will, a place of safety from the terrors of the night. But how about this? Deliverance from will come when we proclaim the authority of God over our lives. There's a couple of things I wrote down before I came downstairs, and I'm going to give these to you as I close the service today, and I think it's going to be important for several people here today. Here's the deal. There's a great cost for disobedience. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me tell you what it costs you. Believers' disobedience will affect non-believers. And I'm here to set the record straight. That as we really surrender to God, that we'll learn the story of Jonah in a whole different perspective. That God redeemed that situation when Jonah went back for a little while and preached the message of God, and everybody got saved. But I want to tell you, it's not always that way. There are things that you may be doing, saying, or the way you're performing that is hindering believers from getting saved. Let me just personalize it for Portland, Oregon. Don't complain about all the false gods in Portland. Start living for the real one. You got all kinds of reasons to complain about what they're doing here, what they're doing there, all the various groups as far as it's concerned. Don't do that. Start living your life for the real God. And a believer, as a believer, there's five things that is outlined in the story that we can leave here with that we should do. We should know, number one, the signs of the time. I gave you one of the signs of the time. He said, well, everybody's worried about, you know, Kim Jong-un, what he's going to do. And y'all didn't even know. His grandparents, there's something that they sowed into that family that Kim cannot overrule. I don't care if he's got his finger on every switch there is to go. God can say, mm-mm. There's intercession that's already been done, and when he's ready to pull the switch, God says, I'll take him out. Do not panic for the arrow that flies by day. Amen. Do not panic over what he might do, but be in a place where you'll do everything that God has told you to do. Somebody say amen. Don't put that in a negative sense. The second thing is your calling and purpose. Do you know what it is? Many of you don't. But you'll come here week after week after week hoping that somehow someone will prophesy it over. But you know something that's greater than prophecies in you is when you yield to God, God will reveal to you not only your heart's desire, but it'll be in total lockstep with his. I'll leave the other two alone, but there's only one person that we represent at this point. That's Jesus. And today he's about to do some amazing things in people's lives today as they would submit to the things that he's about to do. Here's the deal. Jonah was fleeing the presence of God, but here's something I want to tell you that's amazing for every person that's in this room. You are in the presence of God right now. It's how you respond to his presence that will make a difference. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to have you stand to your feet. And there's something we're going to do that I believe is going to shake the earth. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are people in this room today that need to experience the authority of your presence. And Lord, I pray that in like Jonah was trying to flee from your presence, There are some people that believe that Portland, Oregon is doomed to be a place where hell rules. I don't believe that. I believe that as we lift up your name higher and higher and higher, that people will see you for who you truly are. And Lord, we need to have a mind shift away from the things that the devil's doing and be on the same page with what God is doing. And so, Lord, I pray, I preach and I pray right now for a casting down of evil imaginations toward the things that the devil's trying to do. I pray that our minds would be sanctified with the word of Christ, and people, that every person has fought against the very principles of your kingdom, Lord God, that they would be under arrest of the Spirit today, and they would desire to know the real and true God. Lord, there are people sitting in these pews today that are fleeing, as they thought, the presence of God. But you brought them here. They thought they made the decision, but honestly and truly, it was your Holy Spirit that drew them here. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, as we sing this final song, that they will respond to you. Everybody stand to your feet. Everybody, everybody.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.